powerful, omnipotent, omniscient. You're also our friend. So we pray, Lord, with all the things that we have that we're dealing with, we'd be able to speak and bring these things to you. The troubles that we have, the difficulties at our own homes, the difficulties at our jobs, the relationships that we're struggling with, the work that we're having problems with, maybe the mental health issues that we are daily battling with, the habitual sins that we're dealing with. All these, Lord, we can bring it to you because you are a friend and you love us rather than a God that has pure wrath, that wants to shame us and guilt us for being evil. You want us to deal with it, and you want to walk with us through these things. That's the kind of stuff that you died for. So help us, Lord, to find you today as a friend and worship you still as an almighty God. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.
Well, good morning. We've got a couple of young people who are going to come and make an announcement right now. Bella and Sophia, right?
So, hey guys. So this year our youth camp is way earlier and is happening in November, 8th to 10th. At Pioneer Lodge in, I don't know how to pronounce this, it's spelled S-U-N-D-R-E. So our speaker is Pastor Eric Wong, and our theme for this camp is transformation. So sign up early, because early bird registration, that's before October 13th, is $150 compared to $180 if you sign up later. And that cost includes everything, so be sure to remember.
Yeah, we're also looking for some helpers, so Crossroads, if you want to join, we're looking for many of you. And we're also looking for two parents, so if your kid belongs in this group of teens, please come, we're looking for two of you. At this camp, it's going to be kind of cool. We have like horseback riding and wall climbing and things like that, so incentive to join, please come. If you have your waivers done, they go to Carlene over there. If she could stand up and wave, she's that pretty girl over there. Hand your form to her, and she will gladly take it. She can also answer any additional questions if you guys have any. So yeah, hope to see you there. Thank you.
Thank you, girls. Well, it's going to be a great retreat, and we're going to just pray in that God would make it the best ever. So a couple of announcements from myself. If you ordered books, What on Earth Am I Here For? There's a couple of people, Eunice and May, still have books there. And if you didn't get a book, you'll notice that I just keep a couple extra just to keep teasing you, and you really still want one. All right, come on, grab a book, grab a bookmark so you can mark where you're at in the book, and we're going through that book all fall, so I want you to have books. If you want the PDF, you need to just send me your address. You know, on the back of the bulletin, there's my email address right there, and you just say, hey, could you send me a PDF, and I'll send you an electronic file. You can read it on your smartphone and keep up with us in that way. And it doesn't cost as much as a book. But anyways, we've been making the books available to you. And I do want to encourage you, not just to read the book, but I want to encourage you to join a group and talk about it in your small groups. So whatever your small group you're a part of, I want you to kind of get involved. Lean in, make it a priority to be a part of that group. And if you're not a part of a group, come and talk to us. And we had, so we're already in the second week of groups, but I hope that you'll just be a part of a group in your own age group. Young people are going through it. Crossroads are going through it. There's also a class right after our service here, and if you want to be a part of that, it's in room 208 as well. So there you go. Those are some announcements. And next week, we're going to welcome some people into fellowship in our church, and then, of course, the following week after that is Thanksgiving. So we hope to have a great service together. So a little bit about some things coming up. Turn your attention to the video, and then I'll be speaking right away. So last week we looked at the first and greatest purpose of life, of your life, worship. Worship is knowing and loving God. Your greatest purpose is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. You know, there's a lot of believers all around the world that worship God in so many different ways, styles, languages. But how many of those people who worship God enjoy God? Let me be more personal. Do you enjoy God? Do you enjoy your relationship with God? I get a sense that many believers go through life without much of a close relationship with God, and certainly without a lot of enjoyment of God. God has many servants, but not many friends. I'm going to say that one more time, just because as I was kind of, you know, I sort of wrote that, and then, you know, I kind of always tweak and kind of go back to my message again and again, and then the Holy Spirit started going, so Perry, you a servant or you a friend? I think I've been more in servant mode lately. And I just asked this question again. Well, it's not even a question. It's just God has many servants, but not many friends. Rick Warren and A.W. Tozer have both written, "You're as close to God as you choose to be." I don't know. Do you believe that? Different question. Would you like to become closer friends with God? I think there's nothing more important in life than your friendship with God. You were created to have a relationship with God. And if you miss that, you've missed your purpose in life. Some of the greatest biblical characters were called friends of God. Moses, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as Matt read, as a man speaks with his friend. Wouldn't that be cool to hear the voice of God like your friend talks to you? Abraham was a friend of God. Scripture says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Can you imagine being called God's friend? Like, that's a tombstone to die for. That's awesome. David was a man after God's own heart. "I found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He'll do everything I want him to do." And when David talked to God, he wrote, "You'll fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." David was a friend of God who enjoyed God. I want to be on a list of God's friends. And I want you to be on that list. And I want us to enjoy God forever. But many believers, I don't even think they aspire to be a friend of God. Like, we think that's just way out of reach, right? Okay, a couple of biblical superstars kind of hit that mark, but I like it. That's not for the regular average person that sits in Sunday morning. Here's what Jesus said in John 15:15. "I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you." Jesus said that to his disciples, and he says that to you, if you will follow him and learn how to be his friend. When comedian Yakov Smirnov first came to the United States from Russia, he wasn't prepared for the incredible variety of instant products available in American grocery stores. He says, "On my first shopping trip, I saw powdered milk. You just add water and you get milk. And then I saw powdered orange juice. You just add water and you get orange juice. And then I saw baby powder and I thought to myself, what a country." Wouldn't it be nice if we just met Jesus and then we added water, baptism, and we could instantly have a close, intimate relationship with God, a friendship. Do you know what? Like any friendship on this earth, you have to work at developing your friendship with God. It takes desire and commitment, time together, frequent conversations. To be a friend of God, you've got to pursue Him. You've got to make it your number one goal. Psalm 27:4 says, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. Is that your number one goal? I think perhaps the biggest competitor to friendship with God is our friendship with the world. Like, we like the pleasures that this world has to offer. But the Bible says anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. See, God is passionate about His relationship with you, but sin breaks our relationship. Adam and Eve walked and talked with God in the Garden of Eden and with their Creator until they disobeyed. And after that, their face-to-face friendship was cut off. Instead of seeking friendship with the world, we need to seek God's friendship. And seeking God's face is mentioned numerous times in Scripture. Look to the Lord in His strength. Seek His face always. We need to speak to our soul. Seek His face. "Your face, Lord, I will seek." You know, you're crazy if you don't talk to yourself. If you don't speak to your soul part of your life. So what does it mean to seek the face of God? Like, we've got a lot of ways to connect with each other in our world. We got cell phones and email and text and Snapchat and all these things, but nothing compares with face-to-face communication, right? There's times when only face-to-face interaction can meet the need for a clear understanding and an intimate connection between two people. No matter how much you kiss your wife on your smartphone, it doesn't quite feel the same, right? The face of a person is like an open window that allows us to see inside of that person. Thoughts, his pain, her joy, her heart. Presence is a common translation of the Hebrew word face. Seeking God's face means seeking His presence. And then you say, "Well, hey, aren't we always in God's presence?" Okay, yes, in one sense, God is present everywhere at all time. But there's a sense in which God's manifest presence is not our constant experience. And there's seasons when we become neglectful of God and we don't think about Him, we don't put our trust in Him, and we lose sight of God's face. We can't see His greatness and His beauty, His value. As John Piper says, His personal character is hidden behind the curtain of our carnal desires, right? Our friendship with all the stuff in the world, I got to get to work, I got to get this, I got to find that. And we get busy with all those things and we miss the greater friendship. The face of God is different than the hand of God. See, often we go to God and we seek His hands that give us something, hands that help us when we need help, hands that bless us, hands that protect us, hands that heal us. You know, there's nothing wrong with that part of God. God's hands are very important. God tells us in His Word to go to Him with our requests, and sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. The only problem is that when we seek God's hands, we can miss the beauty of His face. And the face of God is the true identity of the personhood of God. It's coming to know God for who He is, not just what He can do for us. And there's an old guy who's kind of important in the Christian Missionary Alliance Church. His name was A.B. Simpson, our founder. And he wrote a song, and the words are actually better than the tune, but it's great words. And it says, "Once it was the blessing, and now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is His word. Once His gifts I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now Himself alone." So, practically speaking, how do we seek God's face? Seeking God involves getting to know what He's like and listening to what He says, right? Friends care more about, friends care about what the other friend thinks about, what's important to the other person. The more you become God's friend, the more you'll care about the things that God cares about and grieve over the things that He grieves over and rejoice over the things that bring Him pleasure. David said, "Passion for your house burns within me, so those who insult you are insulting me." I think we can ask God to download His heart to us. And the prayer that Mike Bickle, director of International House of Prayer in Kansas City, prays most often is, Holy Spirit, let me see what you see and feel about my life, my family, my church, my city, and my country. And we can also know what God is like by studying the life and the actions, the miracles, and the teaching of Jesus. Whatever is true about Jesus is true about God. And whatever is true about God is true about Jesus. And there are some things about God's character that we can imitate, like his love and his holiness, his kindness, his faithfulness, his patience, his humility. Right? We can imitate God. The Bible says, be imitators of God. Okay, so we can do that. There's some things about God's character that we can never imitate. His power, his wisdom, his omnipresence. You can't imitate that. You can simply say, praise you. We glorify your name. We bless you. And then there's another aspect of God's presence, and that's his friendship. And that's the part that we have to understand, that God isn't an impersonal force. He's personal, and he wants a relationship with you. And to seek God, you've got to believe that he exists and that there's some kind of a reward for those who seek him. And God's promise is that if you seek him, he'll be found by you. So to be a friend of God, you've got to pursue him. You've got to seek to know what he's like and listen to what he says. When we seek God, he'll speak to us. I think that Jesus has a lot to say to us, but he allows us to set the pace of the conversation. He responds in the degree to which we communicate with him. Now, how does God speak to us? He might speak to you through a prophetic voice. It may be through a sermon in worship. It might be on the radio. It might be a brother or sister in your home group. It might be simply the prompting of the Holy Spirit as you're reading the Word. You might be reading something in God's Word, and the voice of God kind of comes over the text and nudges you and says, that's for you. That's to you. And when we seek God, he'll speak to us. The fullness of the Holy Spirit comes when we seek him. And if we want revival, we need to seek God's face. As Vance Havner said, we claim we want to have revival and save our face, when the first thing we must do is to lose our face and seek his. When we seek the presence of Jesus, we'll be changed. When we humble ourselves, God will exalt us. When we pray, God hears us. When we seek God's face, we'll find him. When we turn from our wicked ways, we'll be forgiven. And when we put them all together, we'll experience revival and healing and blessing. Friendship requires obedience as well. You know, we don't normally think of obedience as a characteristic of friendship, but Jesus made it clear that obedience is a condition of intimacy. He said, you're my friends if you do what I command. So here we have to think about being a friend to a king in a royal court, right? So, you know, you've got to think about all those people that wear the crowns and all those fancy dresses and everything, right? Kind of go to that image. Friends in the king's court, they have access to the king, and they can speak freely with the king, but they're still subject to the king, and they still have to obey the king's commands, right? We're friends with Jesus, but we're not his equal. And when we turn from our sins and we put our faith in Jesus, he gives us the Holy Spirit to live in us. That's Christ in us. But we need to abide in him. Jesus said, remain in me and I will remain in you. And the New Testament is full of the phrase, in Christ. It describes our union with him. And there's a mystical union by which everything that Christ did for us gets put onto our account because we were in him. But there's another practical sense in which we have to remain in Christ on a moment-to-moment basis. We have to obey his commands. That's abiding. If you obey Jesus' commands, you'll remain or abide in his love. And Jesus wants your life to be full of joy. And you'll have it if you abide in Christ. Friendship also requires honest and constant conversations. You know, you can't be a friend of God without being honest with him. The first building block of a deeper friendship with God is complete honesty. about everything, your failures and your feelings. If you're disappointed with God, just say it. If you're angry, admit it. God can handle your honesty. Close friends confide in each other. Now, if you're bitter, be careful, because nothing poisons a friendship like bitterness. But you don't have to be perfect to be God's friend. Moses sure wasn't perfect. He killed a man in anger. He was a runaway fugitive. Somehow God talked to him as a man talks to his friend. Abraham sure wasn't perfect. He lied about his wife. He said she was his sister. David was far from perfect. He committed adultery, tried to cover it up. When that didn't work, he had Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed. What a mess, right? But eventually he was called a man after God's own heart. God doesn't expect you to be perfect, but he insists on complete honesty. And if you've sinned, confess it. God is pleased with a broken and a contrite heart. I think here's a prayer that we should pray regularly. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Have you ever wondered why sometimes God doesn't answer your prayers in the way you thought he should? Well, one reason we sometimes don't have something that God would like to give us is because we don't ask. Scripture says you don't have because you don't ask. But there's another reason why God often doesn't answer our prayers, because of sin in our lives and selfishness in our hearts. James 4:3 says, you ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Right? It's the friendship with the world. And God says, I can't bless that. See, I think for many of us, our perspective in prayer is kind of like we see prayer as a bit of an Amazon model, right? We make the request, we enter it, and we expect delivery within like a couple of days. And woe to God if he doesn't deliver on time. Right? Like, hey God, what's happening? That's sort of our model of prayer. I think a better way to view prayer is more like a group chat app. I don't know which is yours, Facebook Messenger, WeChat, WhatsApp. Like, there's tons of them, right? But it's for communicating our thoughts and our feelings. It's for agreeing on where we're going to meet. It's intended to be a constant conversation with God. You'll never grow a close friendship with God just by attending church once a week. That's what I can tell you. Cardinal Basil Hume said, there comes a time in our walk with God when we need to move from being Sunday acquaintances to being weekday friends. That's good. Friendship with God is built by sharing all of your life's experiences. You can carry on a constant conversation with God throughout the day. And that's how we can fulfill Scripture. Scripture says, pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, you got to close your eyes when you drive. Please don't do that, especially when it's winter out today, right? You don't have to go to town on a spiritual retreat, though it's great that you guys are going to go, in order to worship God. You can bring God into everything you do. Everything that you do can be spending time with God if he's invited to be a part of it and you stay aware of his presence. And Brother Lawrence called it practicing the presence of God. And one of Brother Lawrence's most helpful ideas was to pray shorter conversational prayers continually through the day rather than trying to pray long sessions of complex prayers. Because here's what he noticed about himself. This is a great writer, great saint. He said, when I pray like long, complex prayers, I kind of get distracted. Does that ever happen to anyone? Anyone ever prays and kind of woo, squirrel? And in an age of short attention spans, I think his suggestion seems particularly relevant in 2019. We can use breath prayers, right? A simple phrase or brief prayer that can be lifted to Jesus in one breath. I want to know you, Jesus. Jesus, I need you. I need you right now. Spirit of God, fill me. I have your anointing. You can use a short phrase of Scripture, to live is Christ. You'll never leave me, right? You can breathe in to God something, Jesus, and breathe out, have mercy on me. Lord, here I am. Holy One, keep me true. All of these are examples of breath prayers. Shorter prayers are a great idea for prayer in small groups as well. You know, if each person in your group, sometimes we have this model like, well, everybody's going to pray around the circle. And if you get, if everybody decides to do like 5 minutes, I mean, by the time it comes to you, you're half asleep and you're thinking about something far away, right? But if you keep, if each person in a small group, you pray subject by subject, short, simple, specific prayers. And every once in a while, you're okay with silence because silence is a part of where you're listening for the Holy Spirit to lead you. I think it's going to be a lot easier to agree in prayer. Praying in one accord is a secret to powerful prayers. And these five S's can revolutionize prayer in your small group. I want to encourage you to implement them. Friendship with God requires focusing on Him throughout the day. When we think about God's word throughout the day, we build our friendship. See, worry is when we keep thinking about a problem over and over and over. Any of you worry? Have a tendency to worry? But when you think of God's word over and over and over, we don't call that worry. We call that meditation. David said, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long." And we should approach God's word as a love letter more than a rule book. And we meditate on who God is and what He's done for us and what He's said. And God reveals Himself through His Word and He speaks to us. Now, we can't spend all day studying the Bible, but we can think about His Word often and pray it back to Him. See, it's not just enough to study God's Word. Did you know that you could be a Bible scholar? You could have the whole Bible memorized and yet not have a relationship with God. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for thinking they were experiencing God's life simply because they were like experts at Scripture. Like a lot of them had memorized most of the Old Testament that we know. And here's what Jesus said to them. You study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. See, the Bible isn't the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. The final authority in all matters of faith and practice is the Spirit of God speaking through the Scriptures. Scripture is like a neon sign pointing to Jesus. It testifies of Him. It tells us what Jesus is like. The Bible isn't primarily given to us so we know more information and facts about God. It's given to us that we might know Him more and love Him more. And Scripture gives us the conversational material for our prayer lives. Talking to God as we read the Word makes prayer easy and more enjoyable. We speak the truths of God's word back to God as we read. I want you to listen to this testimony of Mike Bickle. He's the founder of IHOP, which is the International House of Prayer, not the pancake one. I know it's getting close to lunchtime. Some of you think, oh, IHOP, that sounds great. Here's what he said. Because like whenever I hear somebody saying, this has made the most difference in my life, you know, sort of spiritually, in my whole life, I try and pay attention. He says, when I look back on 40 years of walking with the Lord, I realize that pray reading the Word, that is, using the Scripture as the conversational material for my communication with Jesus, has been the single most significant activity in my spiritual life. This simple activity is essential to abiding in Christ. That's why we're going to practice it this morning. We're going to pray God's word back to Him. See, we can grow in our friendship with God by simply praying Bible passages back to Him. See, there's promises to believe and exhortations to obey. Scriptures that focus on promises to believe are passages that declare truths such as, God loves you, but you have to believe it before it makes any difference. God forgives you. See, if you don't really think that, like, that's true, it makes no difference in your life. You have to believe it. God provides everything that we need for life and godliness, but you have to access the Holy Spirit. And then there's exhortations to obey. There's scriptures that focus on things like loving others, humble ourselves, serve others, make the most of your time, give to the poor, all kinds of things. So let's take John 15:9 as an example of how this might work. As the Father loves me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. So this is what Jesus said. See, first we can thank God for this truth. We can say, Jesus, thank you that you love me with the same intensity that the Heavenly Father loves you. And then secondly, we can ask God for more understanding. We can say, God, wow, would you help me to understand the depth of your love for me, the height and the breadth and the width, and you know how Paul talks about that? And then we can respond to the exhortation. You know, Jesus says, abide in my love. Jesus, you tell me to abide in you. I want to do that. I commit my life to doing that. And then we can invite God's Spirit to empower us. Say, Jesus, help me to stay in you today and not leave you out of any of my conversations or any of my thoughts. I want to abide in you 24/7 today. Right? So we're taking one scripture and we're praying it back and we're making it a part of our conversation. So that's what we're going to try and do this morning as we close our service. So I just have one final thought that I'm going to sort of hurry through. But I wanted to just say that fellowship and friendship with God is mediated through the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit was given to teach us all things. And 1 John 2:27 says, the anointing which you have received from him remains in you, and you don't need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, remain in him. And this is one that I've been kind of, God's been teaching me and I've been working through lately, because I've been kind of trying to figure out, you know, every Sunday, you might think, oh, it's probably easy to preach every Sunday. It's actually not always. And sometimes, this week, God, I don't know what to say. Right? And so I kind of just give that up to God. And it's this declaration that I've been sort of, I have to declare. And I have to say, but God, I have an anointing from you. And you promised to teach me. So you know, if I have the mind of Christ and you know what the church needs, then that's what I'm going to say. And I have to declare that and believe that, and then I still have to prepare a message, right? But this is one that I've been working on this week. If we ask, the Holy Spirit will give us understanding with whatever we need to know to love God and everything that we need for this life. God will teach you how to steward your money and manage your schedules and thrive in relationships and function in ministry and walk in purity and health physically and emotionally if we ask him. And the Spirit inspires us. Spirit inspires our hearts, gives us the motivation to seek him. He gives us courage in the face of adversity and resistance in the grip of temptation and perseverance in times when we're ready to give up. Has anybody ever just wanted to spiritually coast for a while? Just give me a little, you know, like you've been there. It's the Spirit within us that prompts us to keep seeking God, to pursue him. It's God that's at work in you, Scripture says, to will and to act according to his good purpose. And then the Spirit empowers us. The Holy Spirit gives us the physical and spiritual strength we need to fulfill God's call. You know, the early church was told by the authorities, like, you got to shut up about this Jesus or you're dead. And so what did they do? They decided to pray about it. They said, God, consider their threats. Enable your servants to speak your word with boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All right. Well, we need to do some practice of praying. Here's the conclusion. You're as close to God as you choose to be. If you feel far from God today, guess who moved? Scripture says, come near to God, and he'll come near to you. When you get serious about seeking God and developing a friendship with him, he'll make sure that you won't be disappointed. As R.T. Kendall said, I can't imagine a greater motivation to pray than the fact that God enjoys having me in his presence. He enjoys my company. Friends, there's nothing more important than a friendship with God. It's a relationship that will last forever. So I want to encourage you. Here's what we're going to do. Move to this next slide. We're going to pray God's word back to him. I'd like you to get in groups of about three. I think three is a great number. If you're a couple, you can bring somebody else into your kind of family. Scripture says that where two or three are gathered, the Holy Spirit is right there. Okay? So if you get to a group that's like six, make two groups of three. Two groups of three is better than a group of six. And here's what I want you to do. There's a scripture passage. Okay? In fact, why don't we read this part together? Let's all read this out loud together. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Now, I put together some phrases that you can pray in your small group. I want you to get together in small groups, and we're going to practice this. We got about 5 minutes, and if things go well and the place gets shaken, all right, that's all right. And there you go, right now. That's it. Just take turns. Read. You can just read through. We're practicing something. It's okay to read that prayer. God, I want to say thank you. Thank you for the friendship that you offer to each one of us. And I pray that you would build that friendship this week. I pray that you would inspire each one, each believer, to develop this friendship, to talk with you constantly throughout this week and share that friendship with others. So Lord, would you bless, would you empower, would you give us more of your Holy Spirit, more of your spiritual hunger? God, we pray that you would revive our hearts, bring us closer to you. We love you. We count it a privilege to be your friends. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Say hi to some friends as you're going today. And don't forget to listen to the song.